This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، لا سيما المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. My dear brothers and sisters, welcome to another live edition of our program Gardens of the Pious. Today's episode is number 291 in the blessed series of Gardens of the Pious, explaining the marvelous collection of Riyad al-Salihin by Imam al-Nawawi. May Allah have mercy on him. And today's episode happens to be the third in explaining chapter number 72, the chapter which is known as the condemnation of pride and self-conceit. Babu tahrim al-kibri wal-i'jab. Babu tahrim al-kibri wal-i'jab. In today's hadith, which is hadith number 613, it's a very sound hadith, agreed upon its authenticity. It is collected by both Imams, Bukhari and Muslim, and others. May Allah have mercy on all of them. And it is narrated by a companion by the name Haritha ibn Wahb radiyallahu anhu. Haritha ibn Wahb radiyallahu anhu قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ألا أخبركم بأهل النار كل عتل جواظ مستكبر. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once wanted to inform his companions about a case, about the condition of the people who would be the inmates and the dwellers of hellfire. May Allah the Almighty protect us against it. So he presented this information in the form of a question. Shall I not inform you about the inmates of hell? Obviously the companion said, certainly Ya Rasulallah. Why? Because we want to know about their traits in order to avoid them. By avoiding the traits of the evil people, you become one of the good people, one of the righteous ones. By imitating the traits of the righteous ones, you become one of them. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab, meaning yawm al-qiyamah. The person will be in the company of those whom he loves on the day of judgment. He loved the tyrant, he loved the violent, he loved the rude and the arrogant, you will be in their company. You love the oppressors, you will be in their company. You love the righteous, you love the soft-hearted people, you love the believers, you love the messenger and his companions, you will be in their company, even if you are not as good as them. This has been said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab." The person will be gathered in the company of those whom he loves. So Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, may Allah be pleased with him, once asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he knows the answer, but he wanted to confirm. Ya Rasulallah, O Prophet of Allah, what do you say concerning a man who loves some people and he loves to be with them? وَلَمَّا يَلْحَقْ بِهِمْ. He cannot catch up with good deeds to be in their company. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirmed, Ya Aba Dhar, anta ma'a man ahbabt. You will be with those whom your heart is with. Your heart goes for whom? Your heart loves whom? You love the good doers, you will be in the company of the good doers. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, shall I not inform you about the inmates of hell and about their traits? It is certainly Ya Rasulullah. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kullu utullin jawadin mustakbir. Everyone who is violent, rude and arrogant. We have learned before that one who has an atom weight, or the weight of a mustard seed, the weight of an ant, many different narrations, in his heart of kibr, one who has an atom weight of arrogance in his heart, shall not enter paradise. And in the previous episode, we learned why. It is not about the minimal amount of arrogance. It is about the evil effect and the terrible influence of arrogance on one's heart, which makes a person looks down at people, and it makes a person rejects the truth, even if the truth is from Allah the Almighty, or from the Prophet ﷺ, which also means that it is from Allah. A simple incident when the Prophet ﷺ advised the person who is eating in the presence of Rasulullah ﷺ using his left hand. He said, "Kul bi yaminik," eat with your right hand. He said, "I can't," while he could have eaten by his right hand. He was able to use his right hand. But ما منعه إلا الكبر. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. He felt shy to be advised by somebody else, even if that person who was giving him the advice was Rasulullah ﷺ. So he denied. He said, "I can't." He can't say that I'm not going to do it, but he said it indirectly when he said, "I can't." So the Prophet ﷺ ordered him again, "Kul bi yaminik," and "Kul bi yaminik," in the third time when he refused and he gave a false excuse, Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, "La istata'at," may you never be able to use it, "fama istata'a an yarfa'ha," and he was not able to raise his hand afterward. It was this atom weight of kibr. It was this seed of arrogance in one's heart, which is, the danger is not in its size, how small it is. The danger is whenever this seed of arrogance grows bigger and bigger, and it becomes controlling the heart of the person so that he rejects the truth no matter what is the source of the truth. كل عتل, every violent person, have no mercy on the believers and on the servants of Allah the Almighty. Rude while dealing with people, harsh-hearted, cruel. And then the third evil trait, مستكبر. مستكبر means arrogant, متكبر. And why do you show pride? And why do you feel yourself better than others, while your origin and my origin is the same? I feel sorry for those who think because of their complexion and their skin color or the color of their eyes, they are superior to others. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah does not judge people nor evaluate people based on their complexion, based on their color, or based on the strength of their bodies, or based on how fat is their bank account or their balance. إن الله لا ينظر إلى صوركم ولا إلى أجسامكم ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم. Allah does not look, and the meaning of the word ينظر here, to examine, to evaluate you based on your look. Oh, this person is very smart, he's very handsome, he's wearing a suit that costs that much. It doesn't matter, all of that doesn't matter. What matters is if the heart is pure, if the heart is free from kibr, If the person's behavior is free from violence, if the person's behavior is peaceful, and he's good to all mankind, he's good to others, he's good to himself, he's good to his family, he's good to his creator, then that what counts. So again, the evil traits which are listed in this hadith, which makes the vast majority, of the dwellers of fire, have the following traits. كل عتول جواض مستكبر. Also, besides being rude, جواض means very impatient. In Surah Al-Ma'arij, Allah the Almighty said, إن الإنسان خلق هلوع إذا مسه الشر جزوع وإذا مسه الخير منوع. Insan here refers to the creation of the human beings. The human beings were created with this nature, very bad nature. Halu'an, very impatient. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. If evil touches him, he's very impatient. And he is complaining like no one else in the day of judgment, and they are fulfilling their covenants and their amanat and their trust, and they guard their chastity, the qualities of the believers which are listed in Surah Al-Ma'arij. May Allah make us amongst those true believers who maintain those virtuous traits. The following hadith is hadith number 614, and it is narrated by the great companion Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. And again, it is a sound hadith collected by Imam Muslim in his sound collection, Sahih al-Imam Muslim. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال احتجت الجنة والنار فقالت النار في الجبارون والمتكبرون وقالت الجنة في ضعفاء الناس ومساكينهم فقضى الله بينهما إنك الجنة رحمتي أرحم بك من أشاء وإنك النار عذابي أعذب بك من أشاء ولكليكما علي ملؤها. Brothers and sisters, this hadith is very, very important. Very important with regards to the hereafter, with regards to the concept of aqidah and belief. So we gotta pay close attention to this hadith. First of all, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there was a dispute between hellfire and paradise. We're gonna explain the nature of this dispute, inshallah, once I quote the meaning of the whole hadith. Just bear with me. So in this sound hadith, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, there was a dispute between hellfire and paradise. So hellfire said, the haughty and proud are in me. The arrogant and proud are in me. Yani, they're gonna be in me. They will end up to be my inmates. Then paradise said, and in me are the weak and the humble. Thereupon Allah the Almighty, the Exalted and the Most High, judged between them, saying, Allah the Almighty said, in response to the dispute between Al-Jannah and Nar, he said, you, the Jannah, are my mercy, and through you I shall have mercy on those whom I wish. And then he addressed hellfire and he said, and you are my punishment, to punish whom I wish amongst my servants with. And each one of you will have its fill. So Allah the Almighty vowed to fill both Al-Jannah and An-Nar. First of all, this is entirely unseen to us. We have neither seen Al-Jannah nor An-Nar. But we believe they are being created by Allah the Almighty. One of them is the means of mercy with which Allah the Almighty rewards and have mercy on whomever he wishes. And the other, which is hellfire, is the means of punishment and torment with which Allah the Almighty torments and punishes those who are worthy of punishment. But are they currently existing? Yes, they have been created and they are currently existing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam paid a visit to paradise during the journey of Al-Mi'raj, that was approximately on the 10th year after the prophethood and a couple of years before the migration. And he narrated to us about the sightseeing and the mashahid which he had witnessed in paradise. And he narrated to us about the cases of some people are being tormented in hellfire. But the actual entry of both Al-Jannah and An-Nar will be after the reckoning on the day of judgment. When this life will be over, then Allah the Almighty will order the angel to blow in the trumpet, Israfil alayhi salam, the second time, ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ Surah Az-Zumar. There will be two blowing of the trumpets. The first one, when Sahib al-Sur, the angel who is in charge of the trumpet, is anxiously waiting for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ So everyone, whosoever are in the heavens or on the earth, will perish, will die out of the shock and the awe of the sound of the trumpet. Illa, except for those whom Allah the Almighty wills to survive. Then, after everybody will perish, Allah the Almighty will order Israfil alayhi salam to blow in the trumpet one more time. ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. So all the dead will come back to life from the very beginning to the very end, from the time of Adam alayhi salam, all the way to the time of the last human being who would live in this life before the day of judgment. Why? For the gathering, for the fasl, for the reckoning, for the judgment, then people will be sorted out. Some people will enter paradise and some people will enter hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all amongst the dwellers of paradise and heaven. Allahumma ameen. So, how is it possible for this pen and this desk to talk to each other and have a dispute? When you say that there is a dispute, that means two are talking to each other or more. In this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, احتجت الجنة والنار. So a dispute arose between paradise and hellfire. How? Well, in Surah Fussilat, in ayah number 11, Allah the Almighty told us and He quoted upon us, then when He created the heavens and the earth, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَهِيَ دُخَانٌ فَقَالَ لَهَا وَلِلْأَرْضِ اِتِيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. So Allah the Almighty, upon creating the heavens and the earth, He rose above the heavens when it was just vapor. And He said to it, to the sky, and to the earth, لَهَا وَلِلْأَرْضِ, to the heavens and to the earth, اِتِيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا, come both of you, willingly or unwillingly. قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَاعِينَ. قَالَتَا, the reference is in the word قَالَتَا, they both said, أَلْجَنَّةُ وَالنَّارِ, they spoke out and they said to Allah the Almighty, Ya Allah, rather we come to you willingly. We are obedient servants to you. So is it possible for أَلْجَنَّةُ وَالنَّارِ to talk? Yeah. On the day of judgment, when the person, when the non-believer and when the wicked, may Allah protect us again, is there, will deny all the record and all the bad deeds and will say to Allah the Almighty, لا أقبل شاهدا على نفسي غير نفسي. I do not accept the shahada of these angels who have been recording my deeds because they did not record it rightly. I don't trust them. So what would you accept as a shahid? Just myself. Because he thinks that he can lie as he used to lie in the dunya. اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون. On the day of judgment, Allah the Almighty will seal up their mouth. Okay, you need a shahid, and this witness, it must be yourself. وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم. So the hands and the feet and the julud, the skin, will talk, will speak out. They will turn to the body of parts. وَقَالُوا لِجُسْفَى against me. I'm trying to defend you. You don't know what is going to happen to you. قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Their body parts, the skin, the hands, the feet, after speaking out and testifying, yeah, this person used to commit adultery, this person had oppressed a lot of people, this person used to commit theft, and this person used to do this and this and that. قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah made us speak out, as He made everything able to talk. وَهُوَ خَلَقَكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. As He created you in the very first time, and unto Him He shall return. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. So, if He wanted anything to happen, He just says to it, be, and it is. So whenever Allah the Almighty orders as-sama wal-ard, or the skin, or the hands, or the feet, or the tree, or the desk, or what we call them lifeless objects, the mountains, the stones, They speak out. And what do they say? In a beautiful ayah of Surah Al-Isra, very beautiful ayah, Allah the Almighty says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ As ayah number 44 of Surah Al-Isra, subhanAllah, there is not a thing but it glorifies the praise of Allah the Almighty. Those items which we perceive as lifeless objects, heavens, the earth, علمنا منطق الطير. And he, so from these references, we know that animals talk, and Allah allowed some of His prophets to communicate with animals, to communicate with birds, and the beautiful story of Surah An-Naml, the ants, and Hudhud, the hoopoe, communicating with Sulaiman alayhi salam and giving da'wah to other nations, the nation of Saba and their queen, subhanAllah. So when this happens, and sometimes as human beings, and this question we get very often, especially from the youth, uncle, do you believe in aliens? Are there aliens? Did Allah create aliens? Yani, do you think that Allah created none but you? Do you assume that we as human beings are the only creation of Allah, and we are genius, and we are invisible, and we are the best of the best planets, Tala, in a plane compared to Al-Arsh? So where are you exactly on the map? You're not even a dot in an ocean. The entire Earth planet, you're not a dot in an ocean. To think that you're invisible, to think that you're the most genius creation of Allah the Almighty, and you can defeat other worlds and wage star war, you know, talk as much as you want. But you have to understand and realize that the highest status that you can reach and achieve is to be a servant of Allah the Almighty, to show true servitude to Allah the Almighty. Their traits are as follows: Al-Jabbarun, Al-Mutakabbirun, the arrogant, and Al-Jabbar means the cruel, the harsh-hearted, the violent, those who oppress people, those who hurt them, those whose hearts are very harsh. And inshallah, after we take a short break, we'll get to speak about how can this muscle, the heart, which is like a morsel of flesh, how can it be hard to the point that it can get harder than a rock or a stone? May Allah soften our hearts.
I witness it. I'm Salim. My last name is Arab. So when I moved to the States back in 2002.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. I hope you can hear me clearly. I'm not sure whether you're able to hear me or not.
It can be what you do, but in a sense of without thinking. The things that
you can
naturally without having to stop.
The innate
nature.
Can you hear me, brothers and sisters? Can you hear me? Please let me know if you can hear me. Inshallah, we're taking a short break and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. I mean, with the live program. But I'm sitting here, I'm confined to my seat, I can't go anywhere until we finish, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla. Jannah, punishment. I punish with you whomever I wish amongst my servants, and each one of you will have its fill. So we learn that it is possible for this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak out and to talk, and we provided various examples from the Quran. Now, with regards to the dispute between Al-Jannah and An-Nar, Al-Jannah said will be inside me, those will be eligible to enter me, the weak and the humble ones. So are the traits of Ahlul Jannah is humility, humbleness, kindness to others, while the traits of Ahlul Nar, the characteristics of the people of Hellfire, wal-iyadu billah, is arrogance, haughtiness, being harsh to his people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described how the hearts could get very harsh to the point that it could be even harder than the stone. ثم قست قلوبكم من بعد ذلك فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة. وإن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار، وإن منها لما يشقق فيخرج منه الماء، وإن منها لما يهبط من خشية الله. سبحان الله. Amongst the stones, some which split so that the water gushes forth from between the rocks and the stones. It happens. You see the water and the waterfall coming from stones. You don't know the source of water, but you see it come from the stones. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. And some of the stones which fall apart simply out of the fear of Allah. لَوْ أَنْزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Have this Quran been sent down upon a mountain, it would fall apart and split asunder out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those hearts of those people happen to be harder than the rocks and the stones, happen to be more dead than the rocks of the stones of the mountains. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. And that's why when somebody came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining, قَسْوَةَ قَلْبِهِ, he complained about his heart being harsh and being hard, he said, اِمْسَحْ رَأْسَ الْيَتِيمِ, put your hand on the head of an orphan, wipe over the head of an orphan, look after those who are weak and those who are in need. That will automatically soften your heart. It won't be softened by itself. You have to take the initiative and you have to make things which will soften and tender your heart. Studying these ahadith in the sunnah will definitely do it. So al-jabbarun al-mutakabbirun on one side, fil nar, du'afa'u al-nasi wa masakinuhum on one side, fil jannah. But it doesn't mean that all the dwellers of paradise will be of the weak and of the poor. No, we're talking about the vast majority of people, of the dwellers of heaven versus the dwellers of hellfire. When Allah the Almighty judged between them, He said, إِنَّكِ الْجَنَّةِ رَحْمَتِي أَرْحَمُ بِكِ مَنْ أَشَاءُ. Listen carefully to this. He said to paradise, you are my mercy. Here, you are my mercy is very specific. It does not refer to the divine trait of mercy, because the traits of Allah the Almighty are His. They are not being created. They are His. So, with regards to Al-Jannah, He is talking about a special mercy which He created in order to benefit with it those who are eligible for it, to reward the dwellers of paradise. Similarly, when he said to An-Nar, Anti Adabi, it is a punishment that is created for a specific reason. Then by the end of the hadith, Allah the Almighty, the Most High and Exalted, said to both of the sun, over a million times bigger than our earth planet. And there are other galaxies and planets which are millions of times bigger than the sun, which will be hundreds of millions of times bigger than our Earth planet. What if I tell you that the sun will be folded up and the moon will be folded up on the Day of Judgment? Then they will be both thrown in hellfire. Then Allah the Almighty say in Surah At-Takwir, folding up like a ball, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوَّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ. Ride camels. So everyone would carry a whip or a dirra with him or her. So if you place it on earth, it will be only a few centimeters that takes on the ground or on the floor. This much space, which is insignificant, if you have that much space in paradise, it is better than the entire يوم القيامة إلى من جر إزاره بطرا. Al-Hadith agreed upon its authenticity. Muttafaqun alayh. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, la yanzuru Allah yawm al-qiyamati ila man jarra izarahu bataran. In this hadith, our most beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, on the day of resurrection, Allah will not look at him who trails his lower garment out of pride. Well, this hadith is very obvious and it is very understood to us. Even though the word izar refers to the lower garment, yani when we perform hajj, we wear two piece for men, izar and the rida. Al izar is the lower waist sheet to wear to cover between the navel and beneath the knees. This is what we wear in hajj, and many cultures until today they wear this. And a rida is the other sheet which you place on both shoulders. It is important to know the meaning of both because we will be using them in the following hadith insha'Allah. So in this hadith, Allah the Almighty warned that he would not look at. What is the meaning of he would not look at? There is a difference between seeing and looking. I can, see me if you want to, but because you don't want to watch, you're not looking at the screen. So being able to see and look is something, and deliberately avoiding looking at something is something different. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nur, قُلْ لِمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. And in the following ayah, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغُضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ مِنْ لِلْتَبْعِيدِ, which means command the believing men. And in the following ayah, command the believing women to lower some of their gaze. So you see a beautiful woman in front of you and you deliberately choose not to look at her beauty. Why? Because she's not your wife. She's not lawful for you to look at and to enjoy her beauty. So you lower your gaze deliberately. You do not look. In the hadith, Allah the Almighty says, he does not look at. So he sees them. He sees what they're doing. What have been listed with regards to this sin. The first one is, لا ينظر الله يوم القيامة إلى من جر إزاره بطرا. A person who would drag his izar, or would wear long thawb, or pay long trousers, that they're going beneath the ankles, and he's dragging it behind him out of arrogance, out of kibr, he will be deprived from Allah's mercy on the Day of Judgment. What does this indicate? It indicates that this is a major sin. When one is deprived from the mercy of Allah, this is a serious warning. And this is a very serious threat. It should be taken seriously. And this is an indication that this act is a major sin. In Surah Ghafir, in ayah number 16, Allah the Almighty says, يَوْمَ هُمْ بَارِزُونَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٍ. يَوْمَ هُمْ بَارِزُونَ. On that day, all of them will be exposed. لَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٍ. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. So no one can hide. But Allah the Almighty would not give this look of mercy to certain people, those who used to drag their izar or trousers or their thawb, the men only, out of arrogance and out of pride. Also, among us, the means of punishment is, وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Will turn away from them. He will not talk to them. Yes, he will hear them and he will give them orders, but he will not talk to them the talk of mercy. Because he will say to أهل النار, اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلمون. Remain therein, being humiliated and disgraced, and don't talk to me. But he hears them and he's talking to them. But وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ here means Allah would not talk to them the conversation of mercy. يعني imagine when Allah is talking to somebody. How great it is. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. The beautiful story of Musa alayhi salam when he was on the Mount of Atur and in the sacred valley, and Allah the Almighty asked him, he said, يَا مُوسَى إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا. I'm the only Lord. I'm the only one to be worshipped. There is no God besides me. Then he started asking him questions. He said, وَمَّا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What do you have in your right hand? And he had his cane with him, his staff. And he started saying, قال هي عصاي أتوكأ عليها وأهش بها على غنمي ولي فيها مآرب أخرى. The question was very simple. What is it? And he knows that it's a stick. It's a staff. But Musa alayhi salam wanted to drag the conversation, and he kept talking about it. Oh, this is my cane. I use it to tender my sheep, and I lean over it, and I have many other benefits. I can talk to you forever about its benefits. Why? Because he wants to drag the conversation. It's very lovely to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for them, Allah would not talk to them. Why? Why all of that? Because of arrogance. One of the signs of arrogance is wearing long trousers. We say this is for men. Or long izar, or long clothes. You see that the kings, you see the governors like to wear their, you know, outer garment and dragging behind them. This is a sign of kibr. This is forbidden, no matter whom you are. Only for women, but for men, it is not permissible. Well, some people may say, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this case means that if the person is wearing it, something long and beneath the ankles, but is not out of arrogance, it is okay. No, in fact, there is another hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا أَسْفَلَ مِنَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ مِنَ الْإِزَارِ فَفِي النَّارِ. يعني anything that you wear, which is long enough to be beneath the ankles, that part would be in hellfire. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq heard that and he was so frightened. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he complained because Abu Bakr was very slim. His waist was very tight. So he said, yani, every time I tie my izar and I fasten it, but it falls. It happens in Hajj. You see many people, because they're skinny, the izar keeps falling. They don't have that big, mashallah, stomach to hold it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exempt Abu Bakr and said, you're not one of them because you're not doing this out of arrogance. But the person must try his best not to lower his garment or his trousers or his thawb or his clothes beneath the ankles, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so and warned against it. Whether it is due to arrogance or simply because it is the fashion, rather follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brothers and sisters.
اقرأ كتاب الله ترق جنانه وتن العظيم الأجر والغفران.